You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Rather than talking about a historic place in our community, today's segment has been ripped from the history headlines. Did you know that in the winter of 1962-63, Minnesota witnessed two of the most catastrophic oil spills in the history of the state? One of them was right here in Mankato. Today, we invite you to be surrounded by history as we go back to the winter of 62-63.
Breaking news! Today is January 23rd, 1963. At 9:10 a.m. this morning, a tidal wave of nearly 3 million gallons of crude soybean oil unleashed when a huge steel tank at the Honeymead Products Company in southwest Mankato ruptured in 20 below zero cold. Flooded several blocks surrounding the plant, injured one man, and flushed two railroad cars 300 feet into the Blue Earth River, and five other cars were derailed. The extreme cold thickened the orange-yellow crude oil into a messy ooze and isolated houses and businesses as oil flowed down these streets over at least a four-block area. In some places near the plant, the oil was standing 3 feet deep in snowplows, and graders were called in to put it out. Push it out of the way and open snowbanks to let it flow into the river. The extremely cold temperatures made the massive oil so thick and gummy it clung to everything it touched like it was glue. The rupture in the 40-foot high tank at Honeymead, largest soybean processing plant in the world, caused an estimated loss of $2.1 million worth of oil. There was no estimate of plant damage at this time. This is Jeff Lane reporting for Surrounded by History News.
Well, thank you. I love having that news report. That's awesome.
I'll work on my news voice more for next time.
So
that's incredible.
Isn't it incredible?
Think about that much money being lost in a spill like that.
Well, I want you to also focus. When we get to it, you're going to find out how much oil was spilled. So I mentioned at the beginning that these are two of the largest oil spills. And so the one in Mankato that happened on January 23rd is actually the second one. So I'm going to start with the first one. Okay. Was in Savage on December 7th, 1962. This winter was a very cold with temperatures reaching way below zero, 25, 20, very cold winter. On Friday, December 7th, 1962, workers at the Richards Oil Company plant on the Minnesota River in Savage pumped petroleum from rail cars into a storage tank through a long 10-inch diameter steel pipeline. When the workers left for the evening and the weekend, they neglected to close the valve between the pipeline and the large above-ground storage tank. They also forgot to open steam lines that kept the oil in the pipeline warm and flowing. During the weekend, when overnight temperatures dipped way below zero, the uninsulated, unheated pipe contracted and broke in three places. 1 million gallons of oil... The entire contents of the tank drained from the broken pipeline over 30 acres of ground and into the Minnesota River. It was not discovered until Monday morning, and they told no one.
What? How did we find out then?
Oh, you're going to find out.
I mean, somebody had to lose their job on this one, right? Holy cow.
So by January, so a month later, the oil was finally being spotted along the banks of the Minnesota River. The Department of Health traced the oil back downstream to Richards Oil, which claimed only a small leak had occurred. Lacking a public health emergency, the Department of Health was unable to take any action, and Richards Oil continued to drain oil into the Minnesota River until March. At that time, state health officials lacked even the power to inspect sites of the spills without permission from the property owner.
Oh, man.
Okay, so that is December 1962. 1 month later, on January 23rd, 1963, a sub-zero winter's day in Mankato started out like any other day. Honeymead Products Company, the largest soybean processing plant in the world, was located right here in Mankato near Sibley Park. Today, we know it as CHS.
Right.
Honeymead stored its soybean oil, which was the consistency of cooking oil, at the temperature of 50 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit in large above-ground storage tanks. One of these steel tanks had been recently purchased used in Texas. It was disassembled and reconstructed in Mankato. This 40-foot, 100-foot diameter, 3.4 million gallon capacity tank had been further modified by welding an 8x8 steel panel near its bottom for entry and cleaning. The overnight temperatures in Mankato at this time were 25 below zero. On that cold morning of January 23rd, Honeymead's reconstructed storage tank failed. Unzipping from the upper corner of the square plate to the top of the tank, the powerful force of escaping oil pushed the big tank backward into five smaller tanks containing another 500,000 gallons of soy oil.
Wow.
When the piping to those tanks broke, their contents amplified the spill to about 3.5 million gallons. The tidal wave of oil also derailed multiple rail cars and pushed two rail tankers 300 feet onto the ice of the Blue Earth River. Oil 3 feet thick in spots flowed over four city blocks around the plant and into the Blue Earth River.
Yeah, I can't come to work today, boss, because there's oil 3 feet deep, just cooking oil out here. It's just what I do.
Yep.
You get to work because that's a lie.
Yeah.
You can't make that up. That's incredible.
No. So think about that, cooking oil, but now think about it in extreme sub-zero temperatures.
Right.
Okay, so it immediately congealed and created a thick molasses-like substance that clung to everything it touched.
Oh, what a mess.
It took a snow... City crews brought out snow plows and different large vehicles to try to move it. Snow plow tried to move it, and the crews would mix it with sand and snow just to be able to get it to move off of the roads. Some of the debris was pushed into the river because they could.
Nobody cared about that stuff then.
No, but the next day, the Minnesota Department of Health banned any further disposal into the river. A large amount was recovered and pumped into railway tankers and carted off, but they also loaded some up and dumped it in a ravine 2 miles east of Rapidan along the Le Sueur River.
Now, question, it's in the river, they dump it in a ravine. Since it's soybean oil, is it toxic or hazardous like a regular oil spill would be now?
Not necessarily, but we're going to find out why it becomes a major catastrophe.
Gotcha. All right.
So the sticky oil also made its way into the city's sanitary and storm sewer lines and flowed from the west end. Flow from the west end was cut off at the A Street lift station, bypassing the sewage treatment plant to prevent damage. So the cutoff sewage was then dumped directly into the Minnesota River at that station. For those not familiar, the Blue Earth River also converges at this point with the Minnesota River near the Honeymead plant or near Sibley Park.
Right.
So anything happening in the Blue Earth River was immediately going to go into the Minnesota River, and the Minnesota River flows into the
Mississippi.
Nice job. So think about the impact that's going to have.
Right.
So when this is all said and done, about half of the 3.5 million gallons of oil that was spilled went directly into the Blue Earth River, and an estimated 700,000 to 800,000 gallons were recovered. Many of that was dumped in the ravine.
Because they couldn't salvage it or anything.
They couldn't reuse it. Right.
Okay,
yeah. They couldn't salvage it. They couldn't reuse it, and they just needed to get rid of it.
Okay.
So, Jeff, what comes after a cold winter in Minnesota?
Cold winter, you got the spring thaw.
Yeah, how about that? So, we're talking about December and January, and we're talking about those spills. So, what do you think the spring thaw is going to be such a concern?
Because the oil is not going to be congealed anymore. It's going to thaw. It's going to melt itself and be liquid form again.
Exactly. And a lot of these spills were on. They went on the surface, on the top of the ice. So you've got lots of things happening. So, and we also know that even in the wintertime, things are still flowing. And then we think of our spring thaw and we think about the rushes of water that mm-hmm. we get that flow all the way down. So needless to say, it was not a good situation. About a month after the Honeymead spill, so around February, March, and almost 3 months after the Richards spill, the ice went out on the Minnesota River, releasing more oil into the water at both sites. It moved quickly downstream into the Mississippi River, and inspectors visiting both plants at the end of March discovered continuing discharges of oil. So they were still leaking oil into the rivers even at the end of March.
On purpose. Or we don't know.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I'm not going to speculate. I'm just saying what happened. So there we go. There's a good word. On March 29th, people reported the first oil-covered dead ducks south of St. Paul. As a serious spill problems became apparent in the late March, Minnesota's Water Pollution Control Commission and Department of Conservation and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers pressured both companies to stop further pollution by constructing berms or excavating dirt or burning the pooled oil. That would be for mm-hmm. the Richards. Richards and the local fire department began open burning of the oil from the ditch of their property. And as the temperatures rose, oil in the debris that Honeymead had dumped near Rapidan began to flow into the Le Sueur River. And guess what river the Le Sueur River flows into?
To the Blue Earth.
The Blue Earth River, which passes right by Honeymead plant where it originated, and finally into the Minnesota River, which flows into the Mississippi River.
Yep. That's a good game of connect the dots.
So they were so excited to dump it and get rid of the debris, and then it came right back to the starting
point. Right back down their place.
So in response, the Honeymead dispatched bulldozers to dike the upstream ravine to try to stop any more of it coming. The reason why this is, I mean, there's so many reasons why this is such a big deal, but at this point in our spring, it is also the migration of all these waterfowl.
Mm-hmm.
So these birds would land in what they think is water or marshland, and they would ultimately be landing in oil. They'd become coated, and they'd eventually die.
Oh, my gosh.
So Governor Rolvaag, the Minnesota governor at the time, activated the National Guard, joined by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, to coordinate cleanup with citizen volunteers to rescue and rehabilitate oil-covered ducks. The project became known as Operation Save a Duck. Despite everyone's best efforts, more than 10,000 waterfowl and countless beavers, muskrats, turtles, and fish died because of the spill. So the lasting impact of all of this, although the Richards and Honeymead spills of 62 and 63 are now largely forgotten, they played a large role in framing the structure of the environmental protection in Minnesota today. The disaster sparked legislation in the following months and years, including law preventing the storage of hazardous materials next to public waters. And it was also the creation of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency in 1967. All of that comes right back here to our little town of Mankato.
That part's good, but the part where how it happened or why it happened is not good.
No.
I mean, it's good that we can say we helped create those. Is that what you want to take credit for? Maybe not.
I don't know that we want to take credit for it, but it happened. It happened here.
It did. All right, before we go any farther, Can we talk about the Save-A-Duck thing again?
Sure.
I love the name of it, Operation Save-A-Duck.
Operation Save-A-Duck.
And it actually did save ducks, right?
Yes, they were able to save some of the ducks. I know that the Como Zoo, Como Park Zoo, was involved in a lot of this rehabilitation as well. It became the safe place where the rehab ducks would be able to go and be taken care of. But as we talked about, there was still... It was just so devastating to the wildlife that so many ducks were ducks and geese and all of the waterfowl did not make it. And so, yeah, you think about that. You think about that combination of soybean oil and petroleum. I mean, you asked that question before about how right. toxic it would have been.
And it's not so much it was toxic the way it sounds, but more so it just it coated them in they die.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't fly. They couldn't probably breathe.
Right. Right. I mean, I just think my brain is just like in pondering mode.
Because you say oil spill, and I immediately think for some reason toxicity.
Right. Well, the petroleum would have been.
Right.
And the soybean oil, not as much, but obviously the combination of the two and the consistency of the two and the fact that they are not where they're supposed to be in tanker cars.
Right.
So I think there was a...
Again, first of all... Let's go back. You said tanker cars. It pushed tanker cars out onto the ice. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
300 feet.
Like, that's insane.
It was a tidal wave of soybean oil.
Now, I'm trying to picture the location, and it probably flooded this part going down towards the old neighbors then.
Yes. Yep.
What about Sibley Park? Did that...
Sibley Park didn't see any damage, but all of the houses and the blocks around it is where it all went into the streets. And wherever different elevations of the road, it would be depend on how deep it was.
Right.
You know, so down at Sibley Park, you've got that culvert that goes underneath the railroad track. So I'm sure that there was a lot
that was filled in there. That's where it stopped.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
3 feet of it. Just, I can't even imagine coming outside your door and having 3 feet of it like that.
And it's, yeah, of goo is really what it became. Mm-hmm. It's just this congealed goo. And yeah, they were shoveling it. They were using large machinery to push it, to scoop it. I mean, just.
Ugh. I'm sure there's photos someplace I could probably Google.
Is.
But I would, or you guys would have, obviously. But I was thinking, like, it's one of those things that we never hear about. You know?
No, no.
It's quickly like, oh, no, we don't talk about that.
Right. Well, and it obviously, as you can imagine, for both of these companies, there was major issues for
right.
both companies after the fact and after all was discovered. And I didn't go into any of that. I wanted to just kind of fast forward us to where we are today. And today we've got some different legislation in place and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So it's not necessarily under the Department of Health anymore. And there's a lot more regulations that go along to try to keep our beautiful state clean and safe for our wildlife and for humans.
I can't just both those things. Think about all that went into the end of the river, then down the Mississippi and down to the Gulf. Like, it's incredible.
It is. It is. And I suppose, you know, somebody's listening today and they're like, yeah, do you realize that a lot of stuff goes into the rivers?
Oh, 100%.
But, you know, it's hard to wrap our brains around something that we hear about on the news that only happens somewhere else.
Right. And this happened right here.
This happened right here.
To that point, there is a lot of stuff that goes in the river daily. And
yes.
Even just this more recent weekend, I saw photos of people ice fishing who picked up trash off the ice that people just left there. And it is disappointing.
It is disappointing. And I think you would hope that in, you know, the amount of time that the Pollution Control Agency has been in place, we would have learned to take care of our
right.
planet. But we're still learning.
Try each day.
That's right. We still keep learning. So we know that today was not a super upbeat look at our past, but rather a timely moment to remember our past and to learn from it. Information about the Honeymead oil spill comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. There's a lot more information if you want to know more about it. Also, I want to point out a really great article that was published by the Minnesota Historical Society titled Operation Save a Duck and the Legacy of Minnesota's 1962 and 63 oil spills. It's available online. So if you're interested in the topic, it's a great read. We want to thank you for joining us today. And until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.